Welcome to the February 12th meeting of Aiken City Council. This time we're going to have our invocation. Johnny Mack will lead our invocation, followed by the pledge by the chief.
Right.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for
giving us an opportunity to serve you and serve our community. Father, we pray your richest blessings on this body that is meeting tonight and all those that are in attendance. We thank you so, Father, for our public safety and those that put their life on the line every day to provide protection for our citizens and for this community. Father, we just thank you for all the opportunities that we have. We just pray that you would continue to put your protection around our city and our community. Father, let us always seek to serve each other. Let us have a servant's heart, Father, as we strive to do those things that bring glory to you and to our community. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have every day to serve and to seek and help those that are helpless, Father. We have so many opportunities in this community to reach out. Thank you for men and women that serve on this council that are doing it, Father, not for recognition, but for the service of your community. We thank you for them. We thank you for all the volunteers that go into all the different committees and boards that serve our community. We pray your richest blessings on all of us. Father, keep us safe tonight, and we just pray that everything that we say and everything that we do would be bring glory to you. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John. Good evening, Chief.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Quickly just go over the guidelines for our meeting. Meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed, and the business of the city must be conducted. As such, discipline, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearings, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair, and if you wish to speak, raise your hand and I will certainly recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And we appreciate everyone upholding our guidelines for the meeting. Moving down to additions or deletions to the agenda, I recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Ms. Gail Diggs.
Yes, Mr. Mayor and Council. I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda by removing new business items number 3 and number 5, and also add under petitions and requests, and we'd make that number 8, please. We have a request for the governor of South Carolina to designate City of Aiken census tracts as opportunity zones.
Okay. Very good. So with those 3 changes, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Okay, the minutes were distributed before the meeting for council's review. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as distributed?
So moved.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the minutes as presented? And that's unanimous. At this time, I'd like to recognize our interim city manager, Mr. Stuart Dean Ball, for a few comments. Stuart, and welcome up to the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening. I want to make a few remarks, just very brief, and I want to begin by telling city staff that I'm very much looking forward to working with them in this capacity, in this interim position. you are truly a wonderful, dedicated staff, and I look forward to continuing to make visits to our departments to get to know a little more about what you're doing. I've been here 7 years, but I could always improve on that. To Mayor Osmond and City Council, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to work as interim city manager as we move Aiken forward. Staff and council will have a lot of work in the upcoming months, including preparing our list of projects for the fourth round of capital project sales tax referendum, our budget for the next fiscal year, and of course many ongoing projects, some of which we'll go into more detail tonight about. Short and long-term improvements to our infrastructure will continue as council and our citizens demand. And our goal will continue to be as staff to provide excellent service to the city at an efficient cost while continuing to make Aiken one of the best communities in the country. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Stuart. This time we're going to move down to presentations. Number one, this is a request to place orange bows in the downtown for MS Week. I know we have Ms. Shirley Abney and Ms. Pam Zander Owen with us tonight. If someone would like to come up and make a presentation, we'd love to.
I'm yielding to Ms. Pam.
Good evening, Pam.
Good evening.
We are having our annual MS Awareness Week in March, and then the big fundraiser, the MS Walk, in April, and getting as many people involved as possible. And on the bandwagon to end MS is our goal. And so just a few words here. We're asking, as you said, we're asking for permission to put orange bows downtown. We'd like to do it to draw attention to the Awareness Week, so to put them up March 10th, and then leave them up through the walk, which is April 14th. That's about 5 weeks. We're looking at an area encompassed by Barnwell, Pendleton Park, and Newberry. And I'd like to say bows don't seem to be a very big deal. You know, they're just these little, right, you could think, oh, we're putting them up to decorate or something. But bows bring awareness, and for us, awareness is key. We want people to know what MS is, to understand what life is like for those with MS, and to join the fight to find this cure and end the disease. So in that way, you are helping us achieve that just by putting these little bows up. I'd like to share a little story. It's one you may have heard about or heard before, but it's about a woman named Sylvia Lowry. In 1945, she was frustrated by her brother's visual and balance problems. So she placed an ad in the New York Times. She had found out he had MS. And the ad she put read very simply, "Multiple sclerosis. Will anyone recovered from it please communicate with patient?" She got 50 replies sharing similar frustrations. And this was the start of the MS movement. 1945, less than a dozen words. She devoted the rest of her life to fighting MS, and on March 11, 1946, she gathered 20 of the nation's top scientists and founded the National MS Society. And that's who is sponsoring our local self-help group, and one of the key organizations that is fighting to find a cure for this disease. But it all started with one woman putting a small ad in the newspaper. So, you know, one little thing makes a difference, and we can all make a difference in this. Today, there are more than 2.3 million people who are affected by MS worldwide, and many in our own community. The average age when people are diagnosed is between 20 and 50, but there have been people as young as 2 and as old as 75. So it is something that affects all of us, and we appreciate any help we can get in this fight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And let me just say, having the opportunity to visit with Pam and Shirley at one of the support group meetings, thank you for what you're doing for our community, the people who turned out and the difference you're making, and it does matter. One person can make a difference.
Definitely.
With that, would someone make the motion to approve the BOES for MS Week? Very good. We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And that's unanimous. Thank you. Even though the bows aren't garnered, it's still worthwhile.
Let's not confuse them.
Moving down to old business portion of our agenda at this point. Number one is approval and appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. I will recognize Mr. Biedenball.
Thank you, Mayor. We have several appointments, 7 to be precise, for Council's consideration tonight. Councilman Waltz is recommending the appointment of Ryan Reynolds to the Planning Commission. He's recommending the reappointment of Joshua Stewart to the Design Review Board, Ira Bud Cower to the Board of Zoning Appeals, and Susan Victor to the Accommodations Tax Committee. Councilwoman Gregory is recommending the reappointment of Judy Turner to the Board of Zoning Appeals, Lucy Knowles to the Design Review Board, and Councilman Gerardo is recommending the reappointment of Ron Delamora to the Energy and Environmental Committee tonight. And these reappointments and one new appointment are up for Council consideration at this time.
All right. Thank you, sir. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you.
Did you want to introduce?
We actually have some of the appointments here. I know if the council members would like to.
I have to nominate them first.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I know you have Mr. Reynolds here.
Wait for her. I'll do it though.
Okay.
I'll do it again.
Very good. Well, congratulations, Ron. Are there any nominations at this time for consideration at our next meeting?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to nominate Mr. Bob Brookshire, who is in our audience this evening. Mr. Bob is a retired engineer in the mechanical field. He has been in Aiken for 34 years. He has raised an amazing family. Mr. Brookshire has been involved in various community organizations and city commissions, so I wholeheartedly recommend Mr. Brookshire for the Planning Commission, and I look forward to council vote.
Very good. Thank you. Any other names for consideration at this time? All right, well done. Thank you.
They're here.
Let me just recognize Ryan Reynolds out here. Ryan is from Aiken. And Ryan has his first meeting tomorrow night, so we'll see how it goes.
Well done, guys. Thank you. All right, moving down old business to number 2. This is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to grant an easement to South Carolina Electric and Gas Company at Northside Park, located at 1677 Columbia Highway North, by title an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to grant an easement to South Carolina Electric and Gas Company. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion from Mr. Gerardo, second by Mr. DeWar. Comments from staff?
Mayor, thank you. SCE&G is requesting tonight that the City of Aiken provide an easement across our city-owned property at the Northside Park to provide underground electric service for the Northside Park. And it also will allow them in the future to install additional electrical lines and gas lines when necessary. and the easement will run from the rear of north side of the property in an easterly direction towards Highway 1. And you have an attached drawing in the easement. It was slightly, since first reading, it was modified slightly after additional review by our contractor, our engineering staff, and South Carolina Electric and Gas. It runs a little more to the easterly direction. We have Mr. Scott Neely here from SCE&G or from SCANA if there are any questions. But again, this is upon additional review. There was a slight modification that will enhance and better provide the service, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Biedenbaugh.
Any comments from the audience? All those in favor, second reading? And that's unanimous. Moving down to number three, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the 2017-18 budget to include revenue and expenditures for repairs to the Carriage Museum and the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame by title an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2017 and ending June 30, 2018. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? Councilman Waltz. Comments from staff.
Mayor, thanks. We are continuing our productive partnership with the Friends, and they are contributing some money to do some additional work for repairs to the Carriage Museum and at the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame. Right now, the Friends are committed to contributing an additional 30% of the cost of $70,076 if we can make additional funding available to enable us to stay within our city budgeted funds. As the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame is in need of additional repair, we realize that there needs to be some additional repair work done at that property for an additional $39,091. Ultimately, the cost to complete this project is around $136,458, which includes 25% contingency of $27,291. And of that total, the Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch would contribute $40,937, which we would then need $95,521 to complete these projects. And the race we recommended to council at first reading and continue is to make an amendment to the hospitality tax budget by reducing amount allocated to the parking garage by $95,521 and increase by the same amount the building improvement line item to allow the projects to complete it now while the contractor is on site.
All right, very good. Comments from the audience? Comments from council?
I have a question. I think Jane is on that board. Jane, there's somebody else out there on the board. Does this complete the repairs that you all need for this structure? Come on up.
I know that that's not.
Yes, come on. Jane was.
Yes.
Jane is a former member of Aiken City Council.
This is what's been so good about this committee. Mm-hmm. The city has worked so well with us, and so we can both talk. So you two are
absolutely. Yeah. So as far as the facilities mm-hmm. within the property,
I know the building was damaged with rot and water and so
correct.
Forth.
So we don't anticipate any other capital expenses for okay. the Carriage Museum or the Hall of Fame once this funding is identified or okay. approved.
That's the word.
Okay. Don't anticipate. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jane. That's
thank,
it.
Thank you, thank Jessica. You. Good evening, Jane. Thank you for coming up. Any other questions from council? Okay. All those in favor on second reading? Then that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to new business, number one, this is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the city code to include the appointments to the Equine Committee to City Council. By title, an ordinance amending section 2-142A of the Aiken City Code to add the Equine Committee to the listing of city boards and commissions. Is there a motion?
Second, sir.
So moved. We have a motion and a second. Comments from staff?
Mayor, thank you. We've, at the request of Councilmember Waltz, we did review the role of the Equine Committee. It was initially set up as an ad hoc committee in 2000. Tonight, we propose an amendment to our city code to formalize the Equine Committee as a more of a formal board versus an ad hoc board. Membership would be 7 individuals, with each council member appointing a board member. It was an attempt to represent various equestrian disciplines found in our Equine Committee, and they would continue to meet at least annually, and also as the need arises to provide advice to other boards and to City Council. For council consideration is first reading of this ordinance to amend the section of the city code to add the Equine Committee to the listing of city boards and commissions.
Very good. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Just it does not include, the ordinance doesn't include the housing authority. I don't know whether that should be there or not. That's it.
What's on the next page?
In the back.
Housing authority board.
It's a great recommendation.
Yes, fourth board down.
I thought it was 5 years. I thought the housing authority was 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah. But maybe you can check that.
I'll check that.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to say I think this is a right thing to do. The equine community is so important to this city. It's time we take them out of that ad hoc stance and recognize them and give them a little more teeth to what they're doing, and I think this will help do that.
Absolutely.
I'd like to applaud Councilman Waltz for this recommendation because we really need to be mindful of the economic impact in our community from the horse community, the equine community.
Absolutely. All right. All those in favor of the motion? That's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down, new business number 2. This is a first reading of an ordinance to amend the land development regulations regarding subdivisions. By title, an ordinance amending section 2.3 of the land development regulations of the City of Aiken regarding variance. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Councilman Jared Owen, motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mayor, thank you. Recently, we've had several minor subdivision requests come to the Planning Department for review, and our city's land development regulations regulate those type of actions, specifically section 2.3. After review by the planning director and the city attorney, it is recommended that the review for these variance requests be assigned to the Board of Zoning Appeals, not the Planning Commission, and it is primarily related to the fact that with a change in the South Carolina code, the Board of Zoning Appeals is the proper entity to hear these requests for these variances. And should council pass this on first reading tonight, it will then go to the Planning Commission for their review and recommendation before returning to City Council for second reading.
Very good. Any comments from the audience? Yes, ma'am. Good evening, Jim.
Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street, Southeast. I believe this issue was brought to your attention following the recent Equine Committee meeting, which is another reason, I think, to recognize their importance to this whole process and the input that they bring. Their
And the fact that the consideration of this change was brought so quickly to you
illustrates, I think, an awareness overall of the importance to get this in line. And it's important not only because the state law specifies that the zoning variances be heard by the BZA, but it's necessary to level the playing field here in Aiken. I think that not all applications are heard equally as it is now. with some going from minor subdivisions going to the Planning Commission rather than the BZA. And I won't go into the details, which you probably all know, of the differences, but I really feel that at present, Planning Commission doesn't have the experience or the knowledge to deal with some of these applications, and their guidelines are vague, and they're instructed to consider things, whereas BZA is has to follow a legal formula to be able to approve a variance. And I think the Planning Commission, without the experience that BZA has, is going to be unable to consider these applications properly, I believe. My point being that I would ask if the city could postpone any further applications for zoning variances until the BZA is in a position by your change of ordinances to hear those rather than having them go to the Planning Commission. And if that can't be accomplished, that the Planning Commission be instructed to consider any applications it has before it against the BZA requirements rather than their vague guidelines, and that the members be advised to seek further guidance to make sure that they understand not only the variances that are before them and all the implications and ripple effects, but that they understand the possibility that they have to add conditions to that variance that may equalize its impact. And at current, I don't think that they are able to consider that without some guidance, either from BZA, further guidance from planning, et cetera. So I appreciate you letting me address this, and I appreciate you bringing it quickly to the front to get moved down the pipeline.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council?
No, I'd ask our attorney, do we have the authority to do that? The ability to do that?
There's a pending application for a subdivision before Planning Commission that's going to be heard tomorrow night. You are not able, under the pending ordinance doctrine, to be able to thwart that application, as that application was filed prior to this ordinance being presented to City Council. With the ordinance, if the ordinance is approved on first reading tonight, then you would have a pending ordinance, and the doctrine would apply. And so any applications received tomorrow would be put on hold until council makes their complete decision. So the fact that the application was filed before this came to City Council allows that application to proceed in accordance with your current regulations. And I will say, and Ryan can correct me if I get this wrong, but I know the first time that subdivision application went before the Planning Commission, Ryan did a very good job of outlining all of the factors that the Planning Commission must consider in order to grant a variance, and they're the exact same criteria that BZA considers when they're deciding whether or not to award a variance. I think Ryan did as good a job as he could to educate the Planning Commission on, you know, what they can do and what they can't do when it comes to granting a variance.
Well, if your statement is correct, then why make the change? If the criteria is identical, why do you need the change?
When the state law was modified to change the procedure for cities to be able to do zoning regulations, and they clearly stated in those regulations, the statutes, that the Planning Commission, or not the Planning Commission, but BZA should be the one to consider variances. Unfortunately, our land development regulations predated that state law, and so the land development regulations were not updated, and so the specific land development regulation says Planning Commission considers minor subdivision variances, and it was never modified. We're fixing that now.
So because our ordinance isn't correct, we're going to violate the state law.
That would be one way to look at it, sir.
Okay.
The land development regulation should have been changed a long time ago.
That's frustrating, because this is an issue that the Planning Department knew about before, long before, or as recently as the last Planning Commission. So it's kind of frustrating that we hamstring ourselves with our own processes, not to deal with it as some folks want. But
All those in favor on first reading? Thank you. Number three in the new business was pulled. We'll move down to number four. Number four is first reading of an ordinance to approve the sale of 905 Alfred Street Northeast and Crosland Park by title and ordinance approving the sale of 905 Alfred Street Northeast and Crosland Park subdivision. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Councilwoman Diggs with a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. Andrew Scarborough has offered to purchase 905 Alfred Street for $54,000 as an owner-occupied resident, and he has a pre-approval letter for his loan, as well as made a down payment with earnest money. He is asking the city to pay for up to $4,000 in closing costs, as well as $395 for a basic one-year warranty. The buyer has also requested that some minor repairs identified be made, and there is furniture in the house. When we began the Crosland Park project almost 10 years ago, we had some furniture that we used sort of to stage houses, and they have been in this house, so he's asked that the furniture in the house remains, and staff has reviewed this and recommends that we proceed with the sale of 905 Alfred Street. Laura Thomas, the realtor, our realtor is here tonight. I want to take a moment also to express that Emery Langston, who worked so diligently for almost 5 years for the city, and one of her key roles was helping us market these projects and these houses for sale. She left us on Thursday for another opportunity, and we appreciate all the work Emery did, and very appreciative of it, and we're going to miss her, but wish her well in her new endeavor, as an aside. But anyway, we do recommend acceptance of this offer to purchase.
Okay, very good, thank you. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's great for us not to be in the housing business. What's our cost in this house?
I will have to get that number for you, but it is well over the $54,000. I can distribute that information to council and put that in the next for second reading.
I'm just curious, Joe.
I would suggest it's at least probably 50% more than what the offer of the house is. So I would say in the $70,000 to $80,000 range, could be a little higher, but I can have that exact number.
Very good. All those on first reading in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Item number five was pulled from the agenda. Moving down to item six, which is a first reading of an ordinance to transfer one house in Crosland Park to Second Baptist CDC by title, an ordinance approving the sale of one property in Crosland Park to Second Baptist Community Development Corporation. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, Councilman Diggs with a second. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. Second Baptist Community Development Corporation, who we've partnered with on similar efforts, has expressed an interest in acquiring one city-owned property in Crosland Park, specifically 721 Vincent Avenue Northeast, and we recommend the transfer. They have worked with us on projects in Crosland Park, as well as the DuPont Landing project, which will have several items later. Once this transfer is complete and we facilitate the sales of these other properties, the only properties that the city will continue to own in Crosland Park will be the park itself at the corner of York and Aldrich, our community garden at 625 Aldrich, our community house on Crosland Drive, and two pocket parks which lead to Aiken Middle and North Aiken on Croft Street and Aldrich. So for council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to transfer this property to 721 Vincent Avenue to Second Baptist Community Development Corporation.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Biedenbaum. Comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Mr. Mayor,
Second Baptist has been a strong party, a partner to the city, and we work with the senior pastor of Second Baptist Church along with his, I don't want to call, don't know what to call him, his partner, but this is a person that Harvey Ramseur, who's really done the a lot of the work behind the scenes.
Yes.
The Nehemiah Project is what it's called, and Harvey does not like to stand out in front and take credit for anything. He's a behind the scenes guy, but Andre and I had some conversation with him earlier this evening and told him that we were going to call him up front to make a couple comments. And there is a report that has been issued, and Harvey would like for you to come and just say a little bit about the project and then tell us about that report. But they have built, the Nehemiah Project has built about 100 houses, new homes in this community for folks, families who had, did not own home. So you want to share some things to the audience, Harvey?
Good evening, Mr. Ramseur.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. Harvey Ramseur at 7 Whitemorse Drive in Aiken. Ms. Price, it was not a gentle conversation that we had. you and Councilperson Andrea.
Of course, Harvey.
Kind of, lassoed me into this, but the Second Baptist Community Development Corporation, when we got started shortly after I moved, my family moved to Aiken, and at the end of the last century, my wife always says, in July of 99, and I took over the Community Development Corporation early in 2000 after I finished my responsibility with the Peace Corps. We had no real experience in construction, so we partnered with a known entity, the Nehemiah Corporation, which is based in Greenville, and they've been our development partner ever since. We were fortunate enough to build close to 60 some odd new housing units in Aiken, and we've been attempting to develop the DuPont site for several years. The church purchased approximately 7 acres of land on DuPont from 2 separate owners, and with a handshake agreement between myself and the pastor, Reverend Slaughter, was also a pusher. we kind of agreed to with the Second Baptist Community Development Corporation would do residential development on the northern 35 acres of that property, and the church would do whatever they wanted to do on the southern 35 acres. We began several years ago trying to develop that project, that site. And after close to 5 attempts, we finally developed the first 9 houses on DuPont on Bennett Avenue, which required that we really prepare the site for future development. So there was a very expensive 9-unit development, which I don't ever want to do again. But several years later, after a couple of attempts, we partnered with a group out of Auburn, Alabama, the Bennett Group, and we were able to do a tax credit proposal application, which was funded, and we built DuPont Landing, which is a 44-home subdivision south of Aiken High. 44 single-family homes, 3 bedrooms, a community center with a computer lab and an exercise room and a laundry room. And built a kiosk for the residents, and a child's playground. I think on one of my early drives through the community, I had to convince a 280-pound youngster that he didn't need to be on a kid's slide board. He never had any. But I think when we think of affordable housing, we think of housing that's built at of less quality. We pay what contractors charge anyone to build a unit. If it's $200 per square foot, that's what we pay. Our units are not substandard, and that's the impression that many people have about affordable housing. The only thing that makes housing we develop for the community affordable is the financing mechanism. We stand by all of we meet all of the state, federal, and local requirements for construction. You can't stomp on our floors and our houses shake. The doors are not off bounds. They are quality units, and as I said, they're made affordable through the financing mechanism. And the financing mechanism through is either direct funding, a direct loan from National HUD through the State Housing Authority, or it's a reduced 1% loan from the state through the State Housing Financing Authority. And if that does not meet the requirements, then we go to the bank like everyone else. And banks are not necessarily kind to us either. I mean, we do what we have to do to get affordable loans from the bank. So our financing mechanism is a difficult challenge all the time. What we've learned just recently, I got information from the manager of our DuPont development, and it was information that we always suspected, but it's always reassuring when you get it from the managing company, who said to me several weeks ago that over the past few years, 80% of the residents of the DuPont Landing, that's the 44 single-family homes, some have income increased as much as $10,000 per household. And this has been due to residents' use of the computer center. About four of the residents have finished college. Four of the residents have finished Aiken High and have scholarships to university. Two of the residents no longer receive housing assistance. Now, all of those 44 units are not subsidized. Only a small percentage, and I don't remember the number, are subsidized. The rest are market rate rents. There's a mechanism in our development at DuPont Landing that was kind of unique for the state of South Carolina. And that is, we look forward to this unit, to residents in that unit, moving into home ownership. So we built into our plan that says that if a family is in those units for the performance period of the tax credit, which is 17 years, and at the end of that period, if they wish to purchase their home, then we, the owners, the Second Baptist CDC, the Nehemiah Corporation, and the Bennett Group, which is the ownership of the property, will have a soft loan worth about $55,000. That they can take that guaranteed to the bank. And we're projecting that by that time, those units will value at about $175,000. And then they will be responsible for paying the balance of that. And the $55,000 soft loan will get reduced monthly as they pay off their mortgage. So that's one of the, it's almost a quirk that we finally convinced South Carolina State Housing and the tax credit syndicators that we could make it work. It's also a smoke-free community. We thought we were going to have some difficulty with that as we talked about that concept. But there have been no issues related to that being a smoke-free community. So that's where we are now. What you will see later on is our attempt to go forward with another application to build 46 two-bedroom duplexes for a senior population. And we'll see how that goes. It's never an easy struggle. And if you guys have extra dollars laying around, we'd certainly scoop them up. But that's where we are now.
Mr. Ramsey, let me say, I think on behalf of everybody on council, we appreciate your efforts in not giving up and keep trying to define ways to help people in the home ownership. And I think you've done it creatively in ways that are obviously transparent also, but making things happen. So I just think on behalf of the city, commend you for all the people you've helped, all the citizens and the homeowners that are represented our city because of your efforts.
Well, we enjoy what we're doing. Mr. Mayor, I moved, my family and I moved to Aiken after some 20-some-odd years in the State Department and with Peace Corps and with the local government. And I'm a hack golfer. I thought I'd increase my golfing skills. And I'm an artist. So I figured I'd spend some time with my art and try to improve my art, my golf game. And after having essentially retired from the federal government, and about a week later I had breakfast with Reverend Slaughter, and I flunked retirement.
How's that golf game coming?
Thank you so much, Mr. Reverend.
Mr. Mayor, one other thing. I'm sorry. I would be remiss if I didn't make this comment. When Reggie Ebner was on this council, his goal was to see the four houses that we had left with standing to get off of our books. And Mr. Ebner, I can tell you that we are almost there. So thank you for working with us on that.
Absolutely. With that, all those in favor of this ordinance, first reading? That's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number 7. This is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the 2017-18 budget to include revenue and expenditures for purchase of a Freightliner road tractor by title and ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2017 and ending June 30, 2018. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion and second. Comments from staff.
Thank you, Mayor. Late last year, we lost a road tractor in a rollover incident, and between the insurance reimbursement and the depreciation funds that are allocated, we can purchase a replacement tractor for $123,540. In order to make this purchase, we must do a budget adjustment for council approval. So for first, we're requesting first reading of this amendment to the budget to purchase or replace this asset lost in a rollover incident.
Thank you, Mr. Beanball. Comments from the audience? Comments from council?
How often would this have to be replaced if we didn't have the accident?
An asset like this typically is not on as short of a replacement schedule is my understanding, and I do not know the age of the road tractor when we lost it. I can find that out though for second reading.
I'm somewhat surprised that we had a major incident involving the loss of an item worth this much money and. And not even a courtesy notice to council. I hope the driver was okay.
Yes, the driver was okay, but we had to work with him on some, you know, driving techniques.
And I appreciate, I really do appreciate getting emails on broken water mains, but, you know, I think council should have been notified of this one.
Yes, duly noted, and in the future we will notify council when there's these sort of significant losses. Absolutely.
You don't need to get involved.
That is a very, very fair point.
Okay. All right, very good. You. All those in favor of this motion on first reading? That's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number 8. First reading of an ordinance to rezone property known as the Village at DuPont Landing and approve a concept plan. By title, an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by DuPont Landing LLC, Second Baptist Church CDC, and Rural Health Services, Inc., from residential single-family RS8 and general business GB to planned residential PR and to approve the concept plan. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. As Mr. Ramsour so eloquently stated, the Second Baptist CDC and several of their partners have worked on this DuPont Landing property. They are now ready to submit paperwork for a phase two, and as part of that, it will require rezoning of the property as well as approval of the concept plan. They have a very tight deadline, so the Planning Commission has graciously agreed, and the Planning Department has set up a meeting with a special meeting February the 22nd, and then on February 26th, we would have a special council meeting to approve second reading of this and the following items so they can get their grant application in. And one of the items, of course, is for council consideration now, which is the first reading of this ordinance to rezone the property known as the Village of DuPont Landing. And it's owned by the LLC, the Second Baptist CDC, and Rural Health Services to rezone it from residential single-family RS8 and general business to planned residential and approve the concept plan.
Thank you, Mr. Beanbaugh. Comments from the audience? Good evening.
Good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tilden Hildebrand with Hassan Hildebrand. I would like to note in the agenda packet, I'm here tonight representing the owners of the properties involved. In the agenda packet on page 137, it's noted that there would be 52 bedroom duplex units. That should be 46.
Yep. If I may, Mr. Hildebrand, that is actually in this second, that's on page 152 on the next agenda item.
Okay.
That is part of the development agreement.
Okay. I want to make sure that we were clear on the number.
We're going to amend that before we vote
before
on
the next reading,
yes.
Right.
Well, and actually, before we actually even vote on the next item.
Oh, I'm sorry. And to note also on page 146, the concept plan should show 46 instead of 50 units also. And I certainly would like to answer any questions you may have, and if those questions are too difficult, I'll get Mr. Ramsour back up here.
Thank you, Tilden. Appreciate it. Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Item number 9 under new business is this first reading of an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a development agreement with DuPont Landing LLC involving property located at 1000 Clyburn Place. By title, an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a development agreement with DuPont Landing LLC involving property located at 1000 Clyburn Place. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Comments from staff?
Thank you, Mayor. We do, there, as Mr. Hildebrand did note, the development agreement, we do need to amend to note it was, we initially had 50 and it is 46, and you were passed out an updated copy at your place to reflect that. And this is phase two of this project to develop a to develop this exciting project located between the existing DuPont Landing and Rural Health Center. This development agreement is very similar to the one that was proposed and passed by council in 2013, and namely, after a one-year review period and study period, the city can bring to staff can bring to council a deed of dedication for their consideration for all infrastructure and the impact fees, as noted in the development agreement, would be absorbed by the city as was done in phase one of the project. The existing regional detention pond constructed in phase one, the acreage is sufficient. They may have to do some additional digging, but the size of the pond itself is sufficient for this second phase of construction. So we ask for council consideration that we first reading of this ordinance to enter into this development agreement, and again, similar to the prior item, it will come back to council for second reading February the 26th. We'll just have those two items on that special meeting at this time, so they can get their application in on time.
Okay, and I'm going to ask at this time if we could, for first reading purposes, Councilman Gerardo made the motion and Councilwoman Diggs made the second. Would you be willing to amend that so that it reflected 46 units?
Yes. Okay. And that is the first paragraph of the development agreement, which is noted on the upper right-hand is, corner of that as page number 4. Again, we are changing the word 50 and the numerical reference from 50 to 46 two-bedroom duplex units.
Very good. Any of those changes? Comments from the audience? Comments from council?
I'm glad to hear the story. I've spent my entire adult life doing real estate and being involved in appraising real estate and helping develop subdivisions, and I've been in this subdivision several occasions and didn't know the story behind it. I wish all of the subdivisions in Aiken, not just the city but in the county as well, were as nice as this subdivision has turned out to be. Y'all ought to be congratulated. That's an excellent, excellent subdivision.
I didn't realize it was a smoke-free community either, though.
I did not know that, but it certainly is very, the show is very nice.
Absolutely. All right, all those in favor? And of course, that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down the agenda to that portion, petitions and requests. Item number one is a request to increase Eustis Park Community Center budget. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Councilman DeWar, is there a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Comments from staff?
Mayor, as we heard during our work session earlier this afternoon, currently our budget for the Eustis Park Community Center is $3,850,000 with a majority of the funds from capital project sales tax round 3 of $3.5 million, and then the South Carolina Lieutenant Governor's Office on Aging's Permanent Improvement, or PIP, grant of $350,000. And as we discussed in the work session with some costs that we've incurred with cleanup and other things, we are requesting an increase in the budget of $700,000, with the portion of funds coming $325,000 from unallocated interest that is accrued in both capital project sales tax 2 and 3 accounts, and $325,000 staff recommending from hospitality tax funds, which we can discuss additionally during the budgeting process late this winter and into the spring, and $50,000 from CPST 3 sewer system upgrades, which will correct a sewer issue on the site. And for council consideration is approval of this adjustment. And as we heard, our contractor said if once this is approved, we'll have more than sufficient funds to begin construction immediately with a goal of a groundbreaking early in 2019. Excuse me, a ribbon cutting in 2019.
Very good. Any comments from the audience?
Completion.
Comments from council? Clarification, you were wondering...
I thought the project was going to be completed in 2019.
Yes, I said ribbon cutting in 2019. I initially said groundbreaking, and I apologize. No, we are going to groundbreak...
In a month or so.
Very good.
14 months.
All right, all those in favor of this request to increase? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Under petitions and requests, number two, request for expenditure of state accommodations tax money for the Aiken trials. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Comments from staff?
Mayor, thank you. For the past 2 years, City Council has approved a reimbursement of $10,000 in 2016 and $7,500 in 2017 to promote the Aiken Trials as they seek to attract horses for their races, as well as marketing to have patrons attend. The Trials has been the first leg of our annual Triple Crown series since 1942. And last year, the funding helped and was a success as 11 outside horses were entered into the race, which filled two of the six races. Mrs. Susie Haslip, who is, I believe, here tonight, has requested funds not to exceed $7,500 again this year for the trials, which will take place on March 17th, 2018. This will be on a reimbursement basis after supplying appropriate documentation to the city from the State Accommodations Tax Contingency Fund, and that is up for council consideration tonight, is to reimburse from the Trials Committee up to $7,500 for the 2018 Aiken Trials.
Thank you, Mr. Beanball. Any comments from the audience? It's a good evening.
Hi. I'm Susie Haslip. I'm on the Trials Committee. With me tonight is the Vice President of the Aiken Training Track. She's been living in Aiken a long time. We just want to thank you for hearing our petition again this year. I would hope that I wouldn't have had to be up here. But we still have declining numbers of racehorses, and we did a really concerted marketing, knocking on doors, advertising effort this summer at a lot of the major racetracks. And I personally, you know, was in Saratoga and met with a lot of people. We did get a couple new trainers here, which is good. They're having a great experience here. One of them might even buy a house. And so they'll be back again. And, you know, this is what we're trying to build on. But since 2011, we had 250 horses using the track. We're 50% of that now and have been the last 3 years. Alice knows a little bit more about the tradition of the trials and what it means to Aiken. She's been here a lot longer than I have.
Yeah, my name is Alice Knowles. I've lived here most of my life, and I've been going to the races since before the steeplechase was ever in existence. And it's, you know, the Aiken Trials is really a very important part of the city of Aiken being the first jewel in our Triple Crown. And we really need the help to get outside horses to fill the races so that we will have, you know, a good race card for the people, put on a good show.
Susie, the reduction in the track usage, wasn't that because of probably one large
The major one, yeah. Right. So that's why we're trying to bring in other trainers so that that doesn't happen again, that if one person leaves, it's such a dent in the number of horses. And unfortunately, the way they train the racehorses now, it's not like it used to be in the past. I mean, in the old days, they used to bring the horses and rest them in the winter. Now they continue to race them. And so it's a lot harder to get people to come with horses that will fill the races. Mm-hmm. It's economics of the business has changed.
So. Well, we appreciate all you do for us.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council? Okay, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down petitions and requests, I'm going to ask that we consider 3 and 4 together. They're light. 3 is a request for the Kiwanis Club to place banners in the downtown promoting the 45th annual tricycle race. And 4 is a request to place banners in the downtown promoting the Horses and Courses Art Walk on April 3, 2018. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion and a second.
Yes, sir.
Should I recuse myself since I'm the last member?
I think you'd be is Kiwanis going to give you any money for that?
Okay, no, it probably cost me money.
Any comments from the audience? All those in favor? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you. Number 5 is an appointment to the County Sales Tax Commission. I recognize Councilman Dick DeWolf on motion.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move that we nominate or select Reggie Ebner, former council member, as our appointee to the County Sales Tax Commission.
Thank you, Councilman. Is there a second?
I second that.
Okay. Very good.
Comment? Mayor, just it is that time for the fourth round. The city is allowed to appoint one citizen appointee to the Capital Project Sales Tax Commission that will meet between the spring and into the summer to submit to County Council the list of projects from all the municipalities and the county for inclusion on the referendum ballot on the for the election to be held on November 6, 2018.
Thanks. Are any comments from the audience? Any comments from council?
I just would assume that he would be invited to any of our work sessions on CPST 4 as well.
We will put him on the list, absolutely.
Very good. Very good. All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in, right, Reggie? Thank you for your willingness to continue to serve. Moving down to number 6, this is an update on status of downtown infrastructure, and I will recognize Mr. Beedenball.
Mayor, thank you. We would like to have an update on our downtown infrastructure project. We have with us tonight City Engineer John Poole, as well as our consultant, Mr. Joe Johnson, from Johnson, Lashaber & Associates in Augusta, Georgia. And they can give us an update. John has worked very hard, as well as our consultant partner, on this project, getting it laid out into phases, and they're ready to give council an update on where we are and where we're going.
Good evening, everyone. I believe we did have some schedules included in the
minutes. Yes, there are schedules. If you look on page on the several page, and it's in the packet. The last 3 pages of this agenda item has your memo and the schedules.
Page 173.
Yes, page 173 and 174.
I guess we could start with the phase 1A schedule first. We can get that up there. Basically, it is page 173. Mm-hmm. You can see that we are nearly complete with the first phase there, the phase 1A. So we've got to do a little bit of follow-up, administrative actions. But the only remaining actual work in the ground is just the reinstalling the pavers. So that particular project is, or phase of the project, is coming to a close.
And that's from the alley to Newberry.
Yeah, from the alley to Newberry, from alley to Park.
Right, Park, I'm sorry.
And that was a very successful project there. We were able to loop the line. One of the key items that project was going to accomplish was looping the water line from the alley back out to Park. So now that line no longer dead ends. It's a very good thing for recirculating the water. Some of the other items on that, it's just very much punch list items and administrative closeout. So if you move over to...
Any surprises on that project?
There was a few. Yeah, we are actually on the Park Avenue side. we were getting really close to the old trolley line there when we were cutting in, and the concrete and everything in the street was very thick. So the contractor had to go down, I don't know how many, it wasn't inches, it was you could measure it in feet of pavement before you could get down to the water line and tap onto that to make that a loop.
Now, is that going to reflect difficulties finishing the block?
Well, we think we will run into a similar situation on the Richland side. So it kind of mirrors the both ends there. I believe there's a trolley line that went down both streets. So it wouldn't surprise us if we hit the same thing on the opposite side when we're trying to tie into the water line over there. In general, though, once the project got started, it's running ahead of schedule and under budget at this point. So, like I said, the only outstanding item now is the pavers, and that's kind of a supplier issue, not an issue with the contractor. They just don't have the pavers to match, so we're expecting that to come in. Look there. I believe the date I said was
2/28.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit longer than that. You said for the install pavers at dumpster site, 2/8 through 2/15, that's not going to happen. It's going to be 2 weeks out from now at the earliest, maybe three. Now I've got Mr. Joe Johnson here with us, and he can discuss kind of where we are as we're starting to ramp up for Phase 1B.
Thank you, John. Mr. Mayor, Councilman. We started this project. This is a very unique project. It's not just an infrastructure project, but what we are doing on this is we are combining two projects into one and creating an IDC contract, an indefinite delivery contract. So what JLA has done is to combine the McCormick-Taylor project and the JLA project into one project with their specifications, put together the front-end documents for a IDC contract. The benefit of that will be we will pick up to five contractors bidding the project, who will then be your contractors for the next 3 years working on IDC projects. We will also have in this bid package unit prices, such that in the case of an emergency, you have a contractor, you have his unit prices, you can go to him and get the procurement going immediately so that you can force work in these emergency situations. Part of the project that we've also worked on is making sure we get the permits. Everybody talks about permits today. A lot of talk about permits. To date, we have the South Carolina DHEC permit in hand. South Carolina DOT has reviewed both packages and have returned comments. Both engineering firms have returned those comments back to SCDOT. We're expecting them to have approval and their permit shortly. We believe and have the confidence that we have already set a schedule up to go to bid. It should be advertised this week, and we hope to take bids on or about March the 16th. If there's a delay on the permit, then there is a mechanism in the documents to extend the bid date if necessary because of the permits. But we have high confidence that we'll have the permits in time.
This project is to go now from Park to Lawrence to Richland to Newberry to the alley.
And a little bit of hay.
Yes. And you mentioned, did I hear you say 3 years?
Yes. Well, in other words, what happens is the IDC is for 3 years or a maximum amount of money. If you spend all the money, then there's more.
Now the actual Phase 1B project for downtown should be complete towards the end of October of this year.
October 2018.
Mm-hmm. And then when we get this one area done, is it too soon to ask for speculate on where you're going next?
No.
Where are you going next?
Currently, we're planning to expand this out in different sections. I have put in some capital budget items, smaller projects to kind of be scattered around all around the downtown area here for water main improvement and hydrant improvement and our valve insertion. So basically from, looking at the numbers, that's the best way to control the risk from water main breaks is to minimize the number of customers that are put in an outage once we have that line break. So the more expensive way to do it is just to replace all the pipe, but that's several times more expensive to go that route than it is to do the insertion valves and the and upgrading small lines like your two-inch galvanized pipes. Just bring that up to a 4 or 6-inch pipe. 6-inch can support a hydrant. So that's.
Will you be able to develop a list of small projects that can be included in a CPSD 4?
Yes, sir. I'm in the process of doing that now.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
John, one question I have. We just had a large announcement in our city with the renovation and even building with the hotel. Are we taking into account maybe needs of that as we're planning our infrastructure?
Yes, sir. I have had some meetings with the folks that are doing the renovation of Aiken Hotel. Really, their renovations are going to help improve the sewer in that area because now there's a sewer lateral that actually passes through the foundation of the hotel. So we can get rid of that and get folks going directly out to the street instead of passing through other people's buildings before they make it to the main. That's a very big plus.
I just didn't know if there was any possible way of doing some coordination so that whenever they're tearing up and doing their work, maybe we could coordinate and do ours at the same time so we wouldn't have to...
Double work, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
this might be one of the best examples of having an IDC contract because you're going to have up to five, probably less, but of quality contractors. And based on their schedule, and of course based on their unit prices that they already did, John will have the flexibility of contracting with one of those guys rather than the long process of preparing plan specs and going out and bidding a project.
Sure.
It shortcuts it, saves the county money, the city money, so it's expert.
Would you like to hear?
Mm-hmm. Are we seeing an increase in water pressure already downtown?
Increase in water pressure. I think the whole city's seeing an increase in water pressure right now, but it's not due to my work. It's, it's due to some variable frequency drives that were installed.
So. Okay.
I just wanted to compliment John on this project schedule. If I can read it, then anybody can read it.
And
certainly you can follow it very easy as to what you're doing. So this is extremely helpful.
I tried to keep this one kind of high level since we're so preliminary in the stages. As we start getting engaged with a contractor to do it, of course it's going to start looking more like the phase 1A with the different steps. But at the current time, the construction is just one line item for just simplicity. Future council meetings that would be broken out.
But you've got every activity listed and the timeline for each, so that's extremely helpful.
Thank you.
I would support what she said. Keeping it high level means so we understand it.
Well, it helps me remember it, too.
So, you're doing a great job, John. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the most critical tasks we're doing in the city.
We appreciate you being with us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay, petitions and requests number 7. This is acceptance of a FEMA grant for the historic railroad cut soil stabilization project. We'll need a motion.
I so moved.
Need a motion to accept. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Foltz. Comment from staff.
Thank you, Mayor. Actually, 4 years ago tonight, we were in the middle of winter storm packs, 1.2 inches of ice, and one of the casualties, so to speak, was the immediate erosion of the railroad cut between Chesterfield Street and Newberry Street, and
August of 14, council unanimously gave us the go-ahead to apply for a FEMA grant. It was a two-phase. The first was to design, and the second phase was to construct or to stabilize. We are now, we got the grant award for phase one for the design. Now, as you can see, we received last week the grant award for the construction portion of $1,406,385 is the federal share. The state share, or excuse me, the city share is the balance, which is $776,505. Council approved up $600,000 in this year's fiscal year 17-18 stormwater budget for this project, and then the balance was out of hospitality tax, which council approved in the at their November 13th, 2017 meeting. So now we just need, now that we have formal notification of the grant and the amount, we're ready to approve this grant and move forward with this project that has been on the books for, or been identified as something of a goal of council since August of 14.
Thank you, Stuart. Any comments from the audience?
And we do, this is Darren Prickett from Johnson Lashaber and Associates. He, they won the RFP to do the design way back in 2014.
Mayor, the council, we're here tonight to give you a little update on our project. Wanted to make sure that you are 100% aware of our design and where we started. It was 4 years ago. Happy to report that we have a grant.
And we can get started. So we want to make sure we go back and recap where we came, where we were, and where we've got. That day,
so JLA will enter the presentation and we'll ask for questions after presentation.
Thank you.
Just to want to give a brief overview of the project and the project location is the South Railroad cut slope between between Chesterfield Street and the Newberry Street Bridge, directly behind the Wilcox Hotel. I know you already touched briefly on why the project was necessary in the introduction, but you know, due to the degradation of the slope, you know, from you know, winter storms in the past, there's been a significant amount of degradation to that slope, and in some areas behind the Wilcox, you know, that slope is within feet of the actual building at this point. And, you know, through a process of structural and geotechnical analysis, you know, we have determined that, you know, there is a short timeline, relatively speaking, in order to get this project implemented to stabilize that slope and prevent any further danger to the property. You know, the scope of the work is to stabilize the slope with a process called soil nailing, and I'll go a little bit more into the process in a couple slides, but it's a process to stabilize near vertical slopes. Just very difficult area to work in, and this is what we determined to be the best process for addressing the issue. On the budget side, the FEMA grant, as was stated earlier, you know, the grant was acquired through a process, you know, approval through FEMA. We had to get approval through the State Historic Preservation Board, and had to meet all those criteria, and the We have met those criteria, and at this point have received the approval from FEMA for the funds. Yeah, the soil nailing process starts with the removal of vegetation from the cut slope. You know, the all volunteer brush and trees will be cut off, even with the slope. Stumps will be ground within 4 to 6 inches of the slope surface, not to further disturb, you know, the soil beneath. And then, you know, the slope will be treated with herbicide to, you know, to prevent further growth of that material. And in the second stage will be the there's an existing railroad tie retaining wall at the toe of the slope. That that wall will be removed to allow the contractor to build a temporary work pad between the railroad track and the toe of the slope. This will allow them to work without having to stop as often, you know, with the operation of the train, and will provide a temporary drain for, you know, to allow the existing storm drainage to continue to operate the way it is intended to. The slope will be stabilized with the soil nails, and then the final stabilization process is a application of colored shotcrete that will be applied to the slope and reinforced with a wire mesh reinforcement. And the intent of that that final application is to match the historic character of the original cut slope, so we'll have a rough appearance, you know, similar to a soil slope.
Wasn't that done near the York Street Bridge?
Yes, sir. There's been two recent projects. Actually, I have some pictures here. There was one done directly across the railroad track from our project location, finished very recently, and we'll, you know, we'll use the same color and match the same, you know, try to match that finish.
Are there any questions for Zach or Darren? All right. Very good.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We're good. Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council? Okay. All those in favor? Good project. Moving down petitions and requests to number 8. This is a resolution, a request for the governor of South Carolina to designate City of Aiken consensus tracts as opportunity zones. Just in clarification, because we walked this on, this will actually set up incentives for investors, which allows taxpayers to defer the recognition of capital gains recognized. This is something that Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina has really pushed at the federal level, and the best thing is that it encourages investment in these zones, but it doesn't cost a penny of taxpayer money. So we're certainly excited to send this up. We're sending our resolution to the governor's office and hoping that he will recognize these areas in Aiken for these zones. So with that, is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Based on the Rotary meeting today, we ought to probably give it to Representative Taylor.
I think that's a good
to the governor.
You're right. Very good call. Okay, all those in favor? Very good, and that's unanimous. Thank you.
It's a great idea.
Okay, with that, any comment for the good? Is there a motion to adjourn? Ooh, I think we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Excuse me. Mr. Johnson. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, you might.
Absolutely.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Richard Johnson, Jr., 428 Marion Street, Northeast. I'd just like to make remarks on three items. One is handicap. The handicap, there's only one handicap parking space at this building, and it is not adequately serving its purpose. And I've had a conversation with the staff person who is responsible, I think, for taking care of this, and I just wanted to make sure that you kind of follow up on it to make the appropriate corrections that's needed. The second thing is parking, and this is not anything brand new. Everybody knows about the need for additional parking. I had the occasion to be downtown Friday, the 9th, and I was traveling south on Lawrence Street. So when I approached Barnwell Avenue, I noticed there's a lot of cars on both sides of the street. And driving up toward Park Avenue, it didn't get any better. So I thought, well, gee, I'd like to count all these cars. But then I knew I couldn't do that and drive along. So I went to Park Avenue, made a U-turn, and I thought, well, I'll count the vacant spots. So that's what I did. I drove from Park Avenue to Barnwell Avenue, and I counted the vacant spots. And there were 13 vacant spots from Park Avenue to Barnwell Avenue. So when I got to Barnwell Avenue, I made a U-turn and went back up Lawrence Street to Park Avenue, and there were 16 vacancies. So there was a total of 29 parking spaces between
Barnwell
Avenue and Park Avenue at 1:24 p.m. Friday afternoon. I had an occasion to attend an event here in this building
Friday night.
Came up through Park Avenue, through Lawrence Street around, and then Newberry Street looking for a parking space. So I finally found a parking space, and this was at 6:40. And I found the parking place half the distance between Richland Avenue and Barnwell Avenue. And so I walked down to here. And then as I crossed Richland Avenue, I ran into a crowd of people. And the people were on Newberry Street up to Park Avenue and in the alley. And I would say, and I would challenge anybody, I would say that was the greatest number of people in downtown Aiken at one time in history. Not, it may not be.
In the rain.
But I would say that it was a major event. And we need to concentrate on improving the parking for in whatever way we can do it, because an event like this, and this was probably the first time, and it's not going to get smaller, it's going to get larger.
Yes.
So we're going to need to provide parking space.
That was the ADDA Mardi Gras party.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Appreciate your comments. All right, is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion, second.
Second.
All those in favor, please stand up. We're adjourned.
Did he cut that guy off?
Yeah, I think so. He wasn't through his briefing.